to say, but you do. So, Lord, may you just touch each and every woman's heart, Lord, and, Lord, that you will minister unto them, Lord, because your word is true, and, Lord, it doesn't matter what I have to say, Lord, it just matters what you have to say, and your word will touch each and every lady here with where they're at and what they need. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you, and it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, this verse that the Lord, I was sitting here a few months ago on a Sunday, you know, just hanging out, and all of a sudden the Lord just brings this verse into my heart again. You know, I've been struggling a lot lately with everything that's going on in our world. The mutilations of children. I've seen laws passed that it's okay that an 8-year-old child can choose to be sexually active with adult. Where are we going? California is trying to pass a law that once you give birth, if your baby's under 28 days old, you can still abort them. That's murder. Hello? That's murder. Where are our minds, our thoughts? Where are we going, ladies? I don't understand. So I've been just burdened, especially for the children. I've just been burdened and just watching, you know, how these evil thoughts come in their minds. And I'm like, Lord, how does it happen? My own niece decided she wanted to be a boy. And now she's second-guessing that. I haven't talked to her in a long time, but I pray for her daily. I used this verse 7 years ago when I was a shepherd at a girls' camp. And I had the awesome privilege to teach 8 to 12-year-olds the Word of God. And back then, I wanted to edify these girls because people can be mean. Especially girls. We can be mean. I don't know why we are, but some of us can be. And I wanted the girls to know. This is the verse from Proverbs 23:7. For as she thinks in her heart, so she is. I wanted to bird these girls up that God says in his word that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, that we're clothed with righteousness because we have Jesus Christ in us, that no matter what you look like or who you are who we are by the grace of God. I wanted to build these girls up. And then this year, the Lord showed me a different meaning. Isn't God good that as we grow in our faith, the word of God grows in us? And he showed me, yes, this verse is for good, but it's also for bad. For what you think within your heart, your mind, if you allow it to sink into your heart, ladies, we're in trouble. Because the word says that it's with one's heart that we believe. When I was first saved, I had a lot of head knowledge, and I just wasn't walking out in my faith. And someone told me, hey, Dawn, you got a gap, 8-inch gap here. The word's here, but until it's here in my heart, how are you going to walk in faith, in blind faith, on what God wants for you to do? So I thought about it for a while, and then the Lord, as a baby Christian, in 2002, the Lord taught me my first lesson. In 1 Kings chapter 13, which Pastor Dan just taught about on Wednesday nights, and I was so excited. I'm like, Pastor Dan, it's one of my favorite parts of Scripture. And he's like, really, Dan? I'm like, yes. And the lesson I learned is, it was a man from God for Judea. God sent him out. He goes, now go, and I want you to tell this nation. I can't remember, so please excuse me. And he goes, but tell them the message I gave to you. But don't come back the same way you came. Don't stop and have anything to drink, no snacks, no nothing, right? And then get out of there. So he did. But an older prophet came to him, and it says, way out of the town, an older prophet told him, hey, look, the Lord told me something different. You can come and have dinner with me. I'll feed you. You can spend the night, get some sleep, and then you can take off the next morning. Well, he did, because he thought that the older man in God was wiser than he is. Well, the next day he sent off, and a lion and a bear ate him. So I always tell people that when God tells me something and I know it in my heart, you're not going to get me this way unless God tells me. So ladies, if God gives you a message, he will change it. He won't do it through somebody else. So I believe that with all my heart. So when we believe something with all our heart, we're immovable, aren't we? Well, of course, the only way for me to learn is I have to experience these things. So I'm like, well, Lord, how can these evil thoughts in our minds get into our heart and change things? Because there's some things I truly know. One is I am so blessed that I have a lot of sisters that are my ride and die. No matter what I go through, they're there for me. No matter how ugly I become, they will not turn their backs on me. They love me. Well, the enemy tried to make me think that they didn't love me. And there was doubts, but I had to come back to the truth. Another time, I'm here at church, and the enemy tried to put a thought in my mind that I'm not loved or welcome here. I know that's a lie straight from the pit, because this is my home, away from home, and I am loved here. So he started to try to make me doubt, and then he attacked my marriage. Doug and I have been going through a different time of our lives. We are used to spending all the time together. Well, he's starting a new business, and so sometimes in the evenings, he's tied up in business calls. Well, the enemy started to make me think that he was going to leave me, because that's what happened with my first husband, and we were struggling. But God, me and him have a great relationship that we talk. So see, the things that I knew in my heart without a doubt, the enemy was trying to get my stinking thinking to go from here into my heart. And once that awful thought process leaves our minds and starts coming into our hearts and we start walking in it, that's how these things happen. That's why young boys and girls think they're born in the wrong bodies. It's so sad. That's why parents, I wanted to be a boy when I was growing up because I'm big. You know, I figured I was born in the wrong body. I have shoulders that a linebacker would be jealous of. And my dad, I told my dad that. He's like, Dawn Marie, get up there and put your dress on and we're heading to church. I mean, there is no way my father was going to go for that kind of stuff. I'm like, all right. So we just have to be careful. The Bible is clear. I found it really interesting. So I was trying to pull some scriptures together so I don't forget the most important thing is the word. And I searched for hearts because I was searching for verse, and there's 927 times that the heart is mentioned in the Word of God. So our hearts are really important. In Proverbs, it tells us that we're to guard our hearts with all diligence because out of it flows the issues of life. We have to guard it. We have to guard it against ourselves sometimes because the enemy's going to lie to us. Also, I love this verse, Matthew 12:34. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When you're pressed, there's sometimes I get a little snappy. I'm like, whoa, where did that come from? I know, Doug's shocked. Where did that come from? Well, it comes from because you know what? I have some stinking thinking going in up here, and I allowed it to start seeping into my heart, and then it comes out in my words. We have got to take those thoughts captive. In Corinthians, it says that we're to take our thoughts captive and bring them into the obedience of Christ. When we start having this stinking thinking, we got to recognize it, and we have to say, I am not going to believe the lies of the evil one. I am going to go back to the truth. See, God's covered everything in his word for us, right? So we have to be Bereans. We have to think on those things that are true and lovely and of a good report. And the only thing that I know of that is the word of God. He says that we have to watch our minds. I wrote these down, so I'm going to read them so I don't mess up the word. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity and to the obedience of God. See, he's able. He's able to take those awful thoughts in our minds and take them out of us. We have to do our part. We have to go to him and ask him to do so. Romans 12, 1 through 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if we're not renewing our minds daily with the Word of God and allowing it to speak to us, then you know what? We can fall victim. Jackie announced that I took over the women's ministry. And here's an example that we have to wait and be patient for God. Kathy and Jackie talked to me and said, okay, Don, go home and pray. Well, the next day my husband leaves out of town, so now it's just me and Queenie. And I wanted God to give me an answer so bad on Thursday. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to sit down with the Word of God and I'm going to start pouring through and finding scriptures to say, back up what I wanted to. I know what I wanted to do. I wasn't so much surrendered on what God wanted to do. And I'm like, and I just hear that still small voice. You have to wait. So I waited and I just sat for Thursday, nothing. Friday, okay, it's a new day. Down I go with my coffee, my devotions. All right. Nope, no done. It's not time yet. And in the midst of it, you know, Thursday morning, we had to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Doug had to be at the airport early. So I didn't do my normal Bible reading. But God is so good because he knew I was going to be disobedient and not go in the Word because I always just Genesis to Revelations, and I start over again. So I was finishing up Genesis, and into Exodus I was going Saturday morning. I no longer was trying to force God to speak to me. I was no longer trying to search out those scriptures. Because, ladies, we can search out scriptures and make them say what we want them to say, okay? We got to be careful about that. So Saturday morning, I'm sitting in the Word, and I start Exodus. And there's Moses. God says, I want you to lead my people. Moses is like, no! I'm not eloquent in speech. Who am I, Lord? I mean, I'm like, and this is what I'm telling God. God, who am I? I mean, I'm just nothing. But this, he uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Foolish, right here. So I read Exodus most of the morning, and then the Lord said, okay, you're to do this, Don. I'll be with you. I'm going to equip you. You're not going to do this. I'm going to do it through you. So praise the Lord for that. And so I couldn't wait to call and let Jackie know that I accepted and how the Lord was going to, how the Lord spoke to me. But see, the thing about our Lord is he's good because he confirms everything. Okay, he's a confirming God. So I knew that I didn't make this up in my mind because next thing I know, Moses is coming up all over the place. People are just talking. I'm having conversations with people, and they're like, yeah, you know, Moses, he didn't think that God was. I'm like, okay, I hear it, Lord. You know, he confirms it. That's how you know, without a shadow of the doubt, that you've heard from our Lord. Hebrews 12, 15 says, looking carefully lest at least anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. See, when we start that stinking thinking and we allow it to seep into our hearts, ladies, a root of bitterness starts strangling our hearts, okay? And not only does it defile us, but it defiles everybody you come in contact with. And I may not always be gentle. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm hitting the mic, aren't I? I might not always be gentle and give myself grace. I'm really hard on myself, and I need to stop, and I know that. But I don't want to defile you, ladies. So I need to watch this heart, and I need to ask God. In Psalm 139, it says that it ends with, search my heart, O Lord, and show me any wicked way within us. Jeremiah says that in our hearts, there's no good thing. Our hearts are wickedly deceitful. Who could know them? So I'm like, well, Lord, if my heart's already wickedly deceitful, then what am I going to do? But the thing is, when we ask Jesus Christ to come into our lives, who lives here? It's not my heart anymore. It's the residence of the Holy Spirit, and he's good. So I have a shot of being good. And then I already said this verse, but Philippians 4, 8 through 9 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. You know, I like being peaceful. I can be a little scattery, and I jump into the deep end more times than not and have to backpedal because I haven't really thought it out. But God is good. You know, his peace will take care of it. So we just need to come clean with him. We do. He already knows the lies that we might have believed or the strongholds that might be on our hearts. Don't let the enemy win and deceive you. You know, he wants you to doubt those things that you know are true. He wants you to doubt that maybe you don't have people around you that love you, that, you know, you are, like for me and Doug, that he was going to leave me, which I knew is not true, that you're not welcome in a church. That's so not true. And I don't know what other lies that could be coming up, that you're born in the wrong body, that you're not beautiful. You are, because God doesn't make junk, ladies. We all built differently. You know, it's different parts of the body. You know, I'm the pinky toe, and some of us could be a knee or a thigh. You know, we don't know, but we're all together, and we need to help one another. Iron sharpens iron. We got to share the word with each other. Call a sister, pray with a sister. Whatever it is that's needful, we're going to do. So how are we going to guard our hearts, you ask? Well, there's only one I know of that can help us, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And this is what I love. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So he promises, as we praise him, as we thank him, as we worship him. See, the enemy doesn't like it when we're praising our Lord. He's got to flee. He's got to flee in the name of Jesus. But the peace of God, and he says he will guard our hearts and our minds. I'm like, oh, Lord, I love that. I so totally, because I am like flighty sometimes. Yes, Lord. I need to just keep in that sound of praise, just worshiping the Lord. And I just, you know, on Wednesday nights, I do the media. So I get to watch out on everybody who's praising the Lord. And sometimes you'll see me miss a verse because I'm back there. Yeah! And I'm like, oh, I got a job to do. I can't just fully praise. But I love to watch people worship. It's so awesome, you know, just let go and go into his throne room of grace. And when you do that, he's guarding your minds. He's guarding your hearts. I also love Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. We need to trust him. I mean, sometimes the road could look bleak. Something could happen in our lives, a health issue, a loss of a job, many things. But you know what? God promises that he will perfect everything that concerns you, that if we acknowledge him in all our ways, he will direct our steps. But sometimes his ways are not even close to ours. He does things in such an amazing way that we can't deny it was his hand in our lives. So we just need to trust him. Sometimes I was talking to Acelia earlier. Sometimes when things are rough, we have to go back and remember, but God, you did this for me. When I didn't have any money, Lord, you made sure my propane tank got filled with the amount of money. When my engine went and I only had $500. You found someone to fix it that cost $504. I mean, and they thought for sure my engine was gone. But you know what? You have to go back and remember. Remember his benefits. Remember what he's done. That's why I think it's important for us to get together and share what God's done in our lives. Share those verses that came alive in our lives, and just to build each other up, because we go through almost the same things, not identically, but God is good and he will carry you through. We just sometimes have to cling on with all that we have. I like this one in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. It says, test all things, hold fast with what is good. Because sometimes the enemy shows up as an angel of light, ladies. He does. He tries to deceive us. And so we need to test it. And you know where we test? Right here, the Word of God. Does that align up with the Word of God, the truth? I mean, look at Eve in the garden. I mean, God met her in Adam and said, look it, don't eat from this tree. Gave him specific instructions. But then what did the serpent do? He twisted the Word of God just a little bit that she doubt started running in. We don't want to do that. That's why I'm reading from, I'm trying not to allow my memory to come out, but I want to read the actual, what the Word says, because don't let it get jumbled up. The Word is truth, it's specific, and God is good. And even if you can't test it and you don't know, wait, God promises that he will give you the Word and he will confirm it. Don't go looking for it like I tried to, and then, you know, trying to make God, trying to put words in God's mouth is kind of silly, right? Even though I do try it, but I'm learning. I am a work in progress. Thankfully, the Word says that he is faithful to complete that good work in you, and it will be when he calls us home. But we're always works in progress, right? Matthew 6:19-21, I wrote down, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Where our treasure? Our treasure is our Lord and Savior. I mean, just the thought, like my Aunt Ann's funeral was yesterday. I forgot to tell you that Aunt Ann passed away. I'm sorry that I had to tell you here, but they're coming back. But my Aunt Ann loved Jesus. And she, me and her, when I became a born-again believer, me and Aunt Ann would sit there and just talk about how good God is. And, you know, her treasure was in the Lord. Her son died when she was, when he was like 3 years old, Timmy. And, you know, but she knew. She told me about how hard it was for her when she had to mourn the loss of her son. But she knows that she's going to see him again because she loves Jesus. And she knew that she would be reunited. And now she's, her and Timmy and everyone who's gone before her are standing on streets of gold praising Jesus. I mean, how good is that? That's where our treasures need to be, ladies, knowing that we will spend eternity with our Lord and Savior forever. So what happens when our heart's not clean? You know, I think of David with that whole Bathsheba thing, you know, cheating on his wife. Well, he had many of them, so I mean, but luring Bathsheba in, getting her pregnant, and then taking Uriah and making sure that he died because he wouldn't be dishonorable like David was. You know, David was going through a rough time, but he wrote Psalm 51. And I love Psalm 51. You know what? I love that Psalm 51:10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. You know, even when our heart's defiled, no matter what we've done or how ugly we think our hearts are, all we have to do is go before the Lord and confess those things, like David did in Psalm 51. And you know what? Once we do, God will create in us a clean heart. Okay? So there's no, we're not lost because we have the Lord. And he is the God of like a million and thousand chances. We can't run out. His grace and mercy is new every morning. We cannot run out of it because he gives it to us every single day. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. So we have to, I try to put him in a box and say, okay, this is how it's going to go. And he's like, oh, no, my daughter. That's not how it's going to go. Okay. Okay, Lord, I will wait on you. That's the hardest thing, is we have to stop, take a deep breath, and wait for the Lord to give us those answers. You know, sometimes we have to wait a long time. But you know what? As we wait for the Lord, you know, we're not stagnant. We're still serving him and learning of him, growing in him, helping other people out. Sometimes you don't even know how much you could help somebody out with a smile, a hug, a good morning. And I love Psalm 139. It's one of my favorite psalms, and so Doug's too. It's engraved in our wedding rings because that's how much we love it. But I love how it ends. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. He's faithful. If we get down and humble ourselves and ask him, Lord, please show me, especially if you don't even know what's going on. I mean, sometimes I wake up and there's like this heavy cloud on me. It's just like, it feels like the weight of the world, and I feel like there's no joy left inside of me. It's like, Lord, what in the world is going on? I first immediately go, okay, what? Let's look down the sin. I mean, I am a sinner saved by grace, but, you know, sometimes it's just the enemy trying to discourage us. Discouragement, I think, is a big one for him. If he can get us discouraged and disappointed, or even thinking, there was a long time I used to think that I could disappoint God. Well, guess what? No, you can't, because he already knows. He knows the end from the beginning, so he already knows the little path you're going to walk down on. And you know what? He uses it to bring good to him, his name. You know, sometimes we have to go in the refiner's fire, and you know what? That's okay, because when we come out, we are more like our Savior Jesus. So ladies, I just want to encourage you today with 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Stand, like Ephesians, like we put on the full armor of God, we do all we can do, and then we stand. When I'm standing in the Lord, you are not knocking me down, because I know the truth, and the truth will set us free. We have to just keep moving and walking forth in the things of the Lord. And then I always love Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He prepared our walks, our lives beforehand, that we can walk in them. I love in Psalm 139, it says that all my days are written in his book before I'm even born. That gives me such freedom, because I mess up and I fall short on a regular basis, but God knows, and he knows the days. I don't have to worry. This is not like an explosion. I don't understand how people don't believe that God created us. I'm not a mistake. I didn't happen from a Big Bang theory. God created me specially in my mother's womb. Even my crazy personality, everything about us was knit together in our mother's wombs. And every day of our lives, he planned out for us. The mistakes too, because how are we going to learn if we don't fall down? But God promises to pick us back up again. I love that verse in Deuteronomy. It says his everlasting arms are always beneath us. You know, when you have your arms underneath someone else's arms, you can guide them without crushing down on them. You can catch them if they fall and stumble. If they're weary and they start falling, you can pick them up easily. God's good, ladies. He wants to just bless you and keep you strong in the things of him, but we just have to do our part. Stay in the word and continually pray. Talk to your sisters. Share what God's doing in your life so we can edify and build each other up. and do the things that God called us. I think I've run out, but I wanted to share with you this last song. I didn't know how to the last song that I wanted to have played today, but last time I taught, I was telling Jackie, yeah, I'm going to play this song from Dixon Colton about building a boat. And then the Lord changed all the music around. So for the last 2 weeks, I wake up singing that song in my heart. So, you know, and I love that picture of the song, because even when they're in a desert, we got to build those boats, because we have to trust that whatever God's doing in our lives or whatever he asks us to do, that, you know what, it's for his glory. And you know what, it's just, it shows him that we trust him. We're going to walk out in faith, knowing that he only, I love Mark 7:37, God does all things well. He does. And he loves us, and he's going to do a mighty work in each and every one of us, ladies. We have to just rest in his everlasting arms, trusting him and allowing him to guard your hearts and your minds, okay? And Lord, we just come before your throne to praise you and thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing and are going to do, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that you would increase our faith. Lord, that we would build those boats in the desert place, even though we don't feel like it, Lord God. And Lord, that you would be the one who's glorified and lifted up through it all. Lord, thank you so much, Father God, that you live in our hearts, Lord, and you do that mighty work in and through us. Lord, I don't know where the ladies are, but Lord, if they have a stronghold on their heart, Father, I just pray, Lord God, that you would help them to release it. Show them, Lord God. Lord, they may walk freely with you, Father God. And Lord, that they would not believe the lies of the enemy, Lord God, because you don't make junk, Lord. You made us beautiful daughters, Lord. Father, we love you, we praise you, we thank you. I pray, Lord, that you would bless my sisters now, Lord God. And Lord, that you would be the one who's glorified and lifted up through it all. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.